Spring, is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. They've designed must-have travel styles for when you need to jet. The lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit make these shoes some of the most packable styles ever. That means more comfort and less baggage. Take the Superlight Tree Runner on your next adventure. Its cushy, lightweight foam midsole supports every step, and the extra outsole traction gives you the grip to just go for it. The eucalyptus fiber upper adds next-level breathability to keep you going all day. Plus, the Superlight Tree Runner is comfortable and ready to go right out of the box. So, what can you do in a Superlight shoe? What can't you do is the better question. And, because they're super packable, the real question is, where are you taking them? Experience how Allbirds redefines comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com, code SUPER24.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, listeners. It's Richard, Take the Black Live show producer here, reminding you once again that we stream and record this podcast right here every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, and 10 p.m. British summertime on the WinterIsComing.net Facebook and YouTube page. So make sure you search WinterIsComing.net, all one word, on Facebook or YouTube. Give us a follow, hit subscribe, and make sure you turn on notifications so you know when we go live, and you could drop in to chat with Dan, Mia, and the rest of our viewers. We hope to see you there. Thank you for your time. Let's get on with the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the only show on the internet where we talk about things that matter, like space lasers, dragons, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, and such things as this. I am Dan Selke, the editor of WinterIsComing.net, and we are here with Mia Johnson, editor of DorksideOfTheForest.com. And here with a special guest, Chelsea Zukowski. Chelsea, what brings you to our fine podcast this noon?
I'm here to talk about The Bad Batch, though. Really excited about that.
Yeah, The Bad Batch is the brand new animated Star Wars show that just premiered last night. And before we do it, though, before we dive into The Bad Batch, we're also going to talk about House of the Dragon later. There's some really cool new stills breaking from the Game of Thrones prequel show. We'll go over some of the giant Marvel things that are coming out. And thanks, everyone, for joining us. Hey, Lamont. Hey, Julie. Hey, Christian. We will be talking about all of it. But first, before we get going, let's have a brief word from our beloved sponsor, Urina Wood. It's dark, overgrown, and crowded with angry brambles and thorns that bite and pierce. If only you had a weapon to cut through the oppressive thicket and let the forest breathe again. And now you do, with the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Trusted by millions of men worldwide, Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your sensitive grooming needs. If you're interested in joining the Brotherhood of the Forest Clearing, we have an exclusive offer: 20% off, plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. And the mighty lawnmower isn't the only thing Manscaped has to offer. There's also Manscaped deodorant to keep the sacred forest fragrant, and also Manscaped toner to make sure it's never not toned. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code FANSIDED20. All right, wasn't that fun? Okay, Mia, you are Dorkside the Force editor, so you're the Star Wars expert here. So yeah, you're the expert. Chelsea, you are a giant Star Wars fan as well. And I am kind of a Star Wars newbie, so I'm going to turn over to Mia. Go away. Let's talk about The Bad Batch.
Yay, awesome. I got distracted because I saw something moving. It's like a tiny little spider. It won't harm me. What if I freak out? You know what's
here?
Going on.
Where?
No, on my wall.
It's like, I was like, wait, behind me?
No, nobody panic. It's just me. Okay, let's get into the real Star Wars. I'll be fine. So, yeah, I was going to just ask Chelsea right out the gate, because this is the animated world and some people are into it and some people, you know, are a little more disconnected. How would you describe The Bad Batch to people who maybe are not necessarily super familiar with the Clone Wars and everything that goes on with the animated series?
I would say that obviously it is animated, but it has such like heart, and it has the like excitement and the like complexity of, I guess, your typical Star Wars movie, or even like, you know, The Mandalorian. So, and I'm actually fairly new to, I guess, binging all of the animated shows. Mm-hmm. So I've only done that in the last like couple of years. So I did not watch them like as they came out and everything, but they're just wonderful. And The Bad Batch, just like, it really, it connects both of them in so many ways. I think a lot of people talk about how both like the Clone Wars and Rebels, they kind of start out as more light and they're just like fun. And it's definitely like, oh, this is like a kid show, like things like that. And still entertaining, but and then as you get into both of those series, like they get a little darker, they're like complex. You're like, oh wow, this is like, you know, heartbreaking, but also just so many feelings. And I feel like The Bad Batch like does not play around. As soon as it starts, you're like, oh my goodness, like this is not just like your kid Star Wars show.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like, I find that, you know, kind of whole kids show thing, it's a little funny. I mean, like, we're here, three adults, talking about this show right now. Mm-hmm. So I think it speaks to, I've always felt like these shows have, like, different layers, and I'm still getting used to them as well. But to me, it feels like there is something for children, which is, I mean, at its base, what Star Wars has always been. But then these also have this avenue to provide, like, you were talking about these sort of emotional moments, the emotional depth that you might not get when it comes to the series. Like just me watching the Clone Wars season 7, which I guess is not a huge spoiler alert, you know, like the transition from Anakin to Vader. And it was so much more bittersweet because it was like you were watching that whole progression of him, you know, be friends with Obi-Wan and loving Padme and Ahsoka and all that. Yeah, I was going to ask Dan, how do you feel about, you know, the spring of surprise question on you already about, you know, this distinction between, you know, what is a kid's show and you know, is this for adults and all of that in animation?
I think there are definitely, you know, shows that are made with kids in mind that can be enjoyed for all ages. Like for me, the thing I always think about is like Miyazaki movies, like Spirited Away or My Neighbor Totoro. Like, designed, yes, kind of for kids, but they tap into something kind of universal, I think you can really enjoy for everybody. And I think Star Wars does that. My problem with Star Wars isn't so much that it's, like, not hitting the universal button so much as that I feel sometimes a little marketed to, depending on the movie or show I'm watching. Like, we're talking about kid stuff. I watched the premiere of The Bad Batch, and I wasn't... I mean, and I'd never seen it. I'd never seen Clone Wars. I was catching up with these characters, and it seemed kind of entertaining. That little like kid insert character, like the youngin on the Kamino Clone Factory, felt a little sidekick Moppet. Let's have like a child self insert here to kind of balance out the gruffness of the rest of them. Probably my least favorite part of the premiere. But I do think at its best, Star Wars has the capability, absolutely, the capability to hit that sort of, you know, truly for all ages thing, which is hard because sometimes like for all ages means like, you know, aiming at 13-year-olds with a couple of like jokes for the older, for the parents in the crowd.
Yeah.
But at its best, it can be enjoyed by everybody.
Exactly. Well, I hope we've convinced some people, at least at the very beginning, you know, to give this a chance.
Give it a chance.
But I want to talk about your interview as well, which I was excited to pass that along to you. So you interviewed Dee Bradley Baker in a press conference virtual. Dee Bradley Baker, who voices all five of them, you know, with distinct Australian accents.
He was quite
as
good.
Well, yeah, as well as I believe it's Brad Raoult. I think that's how you pronounce his name, and Jennifer Corbett. So what were some of your highlights from that interview? Because it sounded really awesome.
Oh, it was short, but like really sweet. So I think one of the things that stood out to me was Brad Raoult talking about comparisons to Rogue One. Someone in the news conference asked him about that, about how, like, after watching the first two episodes, like, it was it had that, you know, kind of like emotional depth, and you have this, like, you know, reluctant, like, ragtag soldiers and, you know, things like that, and you, it's not really focused on these kind of grand characters like the Jedi and the Sith. Like, you're really, like, honing in on the, like, the actual, like, fighters of this war, or like one war to the next, I guess. So that was a really good comparison. And then of course, Dee Bradley Baker, just talking about the, like, coming back and voicing, clone troopers again, and, the big differences between, voicing some of the other clone troopers from the Clone Wars, as opposed to, like, the Bad Batch. He talked about how there's, like, a tighter, like, differentiation between their, like, their voices and kind of their tics when they talk. And I think both Brad and then Jennifer Corbett were talking about watching and listening to Dee Bradley Baker voice them. And they're like, it was insane. You know, like, it's just like, that's magic. Cool. Like, he just, like, seamlessly, like, pivots, you know, he doesn't, he basically has a conversation with himself as five different characters. So, which was, I can only imagine what that looks like.
That's funny. Yeah. When I'll go ahead, Dan.
I was gonna say, like, I will say, like, someone who hadn't watched the show before, when watching it, I was like, if you hadn't told me it was the same guy, I probably could have believed it was different people, because he was very adroit in his work.
Yeah. I was wondering that. I'm glad you put that in your write-up we have on Dork Side of the Force as well, for more in that interview. But I was, yeah, I, as I was watching probably the Bad Batch, I was wondering, does he record the lines separately, or, like, how does he, Dee Bradley Baker, do that when you have to go, as Lamont says, New Zealand accent more specifically, that... But what's funny for me is, like, after 70 minutes of watching that premiere, because it's a long premiere, so you really have to be into it if you want to commit. It had me thinking in, like, that New Zealand accent. Like, oh, I've got to get ready for bed, and I've got to go clean my gun. I don't have to clean a gun. What is this? So it really sticks with you. And even Omega has the accent, but that is not Dee Bradley Baker, just full disclosure. Yeah.
It could have been, possibly.
I also wanted to talk about, you were speaking about having this perspective from the clones, and I guess I should say, how do you feel about a series that's not necessarily focused on Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin, and even someone who we've grown to love like Ahsoka, being the focus of a brand new spin-off? Like, is this bold for Star Wars to do?
Yeah, I mean, and to be honest, so I watched, you know, Disney's Investor Day way last year, or the year before, I can't remember what year it is, when they announced all of these new Star Wars shows. And at that point, I had not watched all of the Clone Wars. So when they announced the Bad Batch, I was like, oh, cool. Like, we're going to get another, you know, Star Wars animated series, which I'm excited about. Like, that's cool. But I wasn't, like, when I learned more about it, I was like, okay, like, I'll watch it. Like, I wasn't, like, really, really excited until I caught up with the Clone Wars and watched those, their 4-episode arc in season 7. I was like, these guys are great. And I definitely think it's, I don't always say, like, bold for Star Wars to do. I definitely think that it's really catering to a specific like audience within the Star Wars audience. So, you know, my dad is not going to watch this. Like he is definitely the old school, you know, he saw Star Wars in 1977, you know, type of guy. He watched Mandalorian, you know, he liked it, but he's not as like in depth to like the animated shows and stuff like that. So I pretty much tell them what happens. I was like, so this happened here and this happened here. But there is a big audience for the Star Wars animated series. And since I've like binged all of them now and like that audience and that community is just so fun because you just meet all these characters that some are Jedi, you know, or Sith. But some of them, you know, like Captain Rex, I'm like, Captain Rex is awesome. Yeah, you know, the troopers are awesome. And I think that once you really see them, and especially with the Bad Batch that's focused on them, like you really, really fall in love with them. They're just fun characters, even though they can't, you know, wield the Force. So,
yeah, I appreciate the way that they are expanding this universe. And that can be a whole nother conversation about like the legends and, you know, how they could retcon some stuff and how some stuff is just completely abandoned. But I guess, yeah, me appreciating when I have not read any Legends books. It is kind of nice to see at least on screen this different perspective, I guess. And you really do in a way maybe have to be a little bit more of a hardcore fan outside of just the Skywalker saga to say, you know, oh, I kind of do care about what's going on with the clones and I kind of do care about, you know, the other Jedi, you know, like Caleb and his story, what happens, how did they escape Order 66? So I think I have an appreciation for it. It's taken me a minute to ease into it and kind of be like, you know, even like now I really love Ahsoka. I loved her arc. And kind of, I'm excited to see what happens in Rebels as well, because I have not gotten to that. Please excuse me. But I wanted to bring Dan into this again, because we have had talks about the expansion of Star Wars and how viable it is and how even necessary it is. And I don't mean to sum up Dan's, you know, feelings, but in a nutshell, Chelsea, he has been less, you know, receptive to this expansion of like, we've got what, like 10 Star Wars series, Ahsoka, New Republic, all of these things, and a little more apprehensive about, is this too much? So I might pivot. Who should I ask first? Well, anyone can speak up, because I want to know, how are you feeling about animation in all of this? Is animation kind of part of this hindrance of this expanding Star Wars universe? Or do you think it fits into its own nook and it's not like, this is too much, this is just the perfect amount of show?
I don't mind the idea of doing an animated show at all. I think that's, again, like, my problems with the entire notion of a shared expanded universe from the get-go, like really any, like I don't blame Disney for wanting to do it with Star Wars. Of course they're going to want to copy Marvel. I kind of like the idea. Like yesterday we had a Wick Club discussion about all the new Game of Thrones shows, and I'm all for diversity. Like if you're going to go here and you're going to try and make this shared universe happen, at least give us variety. Like, yeah, give us a Mandalorian, like kind of wandering samurai action show. Give us an animated show. Give us a straight drama. Give us a comedy, et cetera, and so forth. So, yeah, if you're going to do it, which I'm not sure you should, but if you're going to, then I'm all for diversifying.
Well, Chelsea, how do you feel about the whole, in general, the expansion of the Star Wars TV universe? Do you feel like it is just enough, or do you have some reservations about what's the future is?
It's hard to say. Like I'm one of those fans where if like I become a fan of something, like I'm gonna consume everything. Like I want to consume as much as possible. And even though I might have like, you know, differing opinions on a certain movie, like I'm still gonna watch it. I'm still going to consume that. I like Dan said, I like the variety. I like the fact that we have, you know, 9, you know, feature films, you know, plus, you know, 2, I guess, you know, more breakout or spinoff films. And there's more films to come, and there's animated series to come, there's live action series to come. I'm all for it. If anything, I worry about, I guess, more of the casual fans who maybe don't, they're not like, I'm going to consume every single thing Star Wars so I can understand the whole picture. Mm-hmm. I kind of have the same feelings with like Marvel, like the Marvel universe. There's just so much. And like me and my husband, like we are dedicated to watching, you know, the Marvel films and everything. But after a while, it's like, I feel like I can't catch up. So I worry about, I guess, more casual Star Wars fans feeling like it's too much where they have to watch this show to understand this movie, to understand this other show, you know, things like that. So if anything, I want everybody to be happy and I want everybody to love everything as much as I do, but I can understand where it can be confusing and overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm pretty much with you on that. Where it is kind of like, we see now Marvel is creating that barrier to entry where it's like, at first, if you didn't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that's not going to mess you up, or if you didn't watch Daredevil for the next movie. Now, when we do have things like WandaVision, Falcon, Winter Soldier, and Loki, it's kind of like you do have to really, really keep up if you want to pay attention to everything else. Maybe it won't be like that. We still haven't seen any of the newer movies, and for Star Wars as well, we haven't really seen how that plays out. But just for example, like The Mandalorian Season 2, with Ahsoka, Bo-Katan, it's like, you kind of need to know about them. They kind of did a good job of just introducing them without any background. It's just one of those things where it's like, it remains to be seen, and only the future and time will tell. So, yeah, I think I've got all my questions answered, unless, Chelsea, you have any concluding thoughts about, or where are you hoping for the season to go now that you've seen two episodes? We can't talk about the second episode, but do you hope the season will go?
I honestly don't know. Like, I know that like Dan talked about, he didn't necessarily like the inclusion of Omega. But I'm curious to see where that's going. I was lukewarm.
Okay.
Obviously, like, this is set in a time where we kind of know how it ends. You know, it's mm-hmm. First days of the Empire. So obviously, like, we know, like, what's going to happen in 30 years.
Yeah.
So that, to me, I'm like, okay, I'm interested in seeing kind of like how the Empire takes shape and kind of takes hold around the galaxy, and how the Bad Batch fits into that, and the troopers and everything. I am interested to see if Star Wars is going to try to inject more of the like Jedi Sith thing, kind of like what they did in The Mandalorian Season 2, which I'm fine with, but it makes me go back to what I said about more casual fans feeling like, okay, like, now we're getting to this part again when we should just, you know, focus on the troopers' experience through this whole thing. So,
when does Luke Skywalker show up to take one of the troopers away in a training mission? It's
honestly, I don't know if I really want him to.
Yeah.
Like, Grayson, very excited that he showed up in The Mandalorian. I could have done without it, not like mad about it. But I am hoping that this series really kind of focuses not on the Force.
Yeah.
I want like the normal people, or quote unquote normal people in the galaxy. I want those stories. And I think that the Bad Batch has like a great opportunity to tell those stories.
But will it take it? Stay tuned.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I love that. Thank you, Chelsea, so much.
This is fun.
Yeah, if you guys have comments, let us know if you're gonna be watching the Bad Batch. There's a new episode again coming out this Friday, and then the rest of the episodes will drop on Fridays. They will not clash with Loki, thank goodness. You know, we've got 2 days, one for Marvel and one for Star Wars. So thanks so much, Chelsea, and you know, you're always welcome over here again.
Of course.
Yeah. Thanks for a lot, Chelsea. This was fun. Bye. Have a good one. All right. So thanks, Chelsea, for coming on, talking about Star Wars, The Bad Batch, airing now on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. And now, Mia, why don't we pivot to another shared universe in another galaxy far, far away, and back in time a long time ago. HBO is getting out ahead of the race, and we've been giving you updates on the filming of House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones prequel show, for a while now. Matt Smith and company are on a beach. They're filming a scene. They're in the Targaryen finery, and there have been leaked photos coming out, and HBO said, you know what? No. Why should we have to let these leakers give these photos? We're going to release some glossy photos of our own, which I think is very smart. And for example, we have this really, really pretty one of Matt Smith and Emma D'Arcy right up close. No need to squint. No need to make out like, who is that? What are they doing? That is the two of them as Daemon and Rhaenyra Targaryen on a beach in the Targaryen finery in their bleach blonde wigs, looking pretty good. And I'll start by saying this is smart, because on Game of Thrones, they would have learned people are going to take pictures. They're going to swarm you whenever you're on a set. They're going to just snap, 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 snappity snap, and they're going to come out. Why not just take your own pictures and make them better looking and release them anyway? Mm-hmm. I think this is a smart move. What do you think, Mia?
Yeah, we've reached that stage where it's like, you really can't hide these things anymore. You really, really can't. And so I feel like you, it's another thing where you cannot pretend or be ignorant to what is going on as well. Like, well, you know, want Matt Smith pictures. We don't know what you're talking. It's like, yeah, get the one up on them, get the leg up on them. Have your own HQ photos, kind of describe what's going on without giving too much detail. And it's like, yeah, if it's there, just it's kind of like that damage control. Take it and make the best out of it.
I mean, like on Game of Thrones, they would even do things like film fake scenes toward the end, where like distract people. And I was always like, what a waste of time! Like, what a waste of money! Like, just instead of trying to fool everyone, just embrace it and just put out your own press release, put out your own photos. I like that idea if that's going to be what they're doing. We also got our first looks at Olivia Cooke and Rhys Ifans, who I believe has a Welsh name, as Alicent and Otto Hightower. That is daughter and father. She is the wife of the king, Rhaenyra's father. She's the other side of the conflict. Wants her son on the Iron Throne. Rhaenyra wants her damn self to be on the Iron Throne. And her father, Otto, is the hand of the king to Viserys Targaryen. So the Ned Stark, the Tyrion Lannister, the Tywin Lannister, the kind of power behind the throne. And not to spoil it too much, but all I'm saying is people in that position don't usually tend to come to a great end, and it's kind of like the Game of Thrones version of the Defense Against the Dark Arts job. Whoever has the Hand of the King job, usually they don't really come to a good end, and he's not exactly an exception. I won't spoil the specifics. They look pretty good. You know, they're wearing their kind of traditional-looking medieval costumes. I don't have anything like too revelatory to say about it. Although I did, there was a thing on Twitter I saw that apparently no one on Game of Thrones ever wore earrings. Just didn't happen. And both her and Rhaenyra and Badarchi are wearing earrings. So either they're changing up the fashion, or maybe earrings were just in fashion this time in Westerosi history and they weren't when we got to Game of Thrones. That's possible too.
Let the speculation begin. I did like seeing that though. It was kind of like the Leonardo DiCaprio meme where he's like, you know, pointing at the television. So I saw the caption. I was like, oh, those are the characters you've been telling me about. Those are the people, the Hightowers. So it's nice to see them putting a face to a name. And I mean, I'm sure just for anyone who's familiar with the books, it's like they're actually putting a face to the name. So these are exciting times.
Yes, I'm definitely hoping that things, you know, as the more that we look at them, the more it'll sink in. And then we'll know the characters well. By the time they come into screen, we'll be familiar and have expectations. Although it's also good to not have expectations. It's also good to go in not really know exactly who they are and just see whether they do a good job of giving you a character you like. As Sean says, looking forward to seeing Sonoya Mizuno as Mysaria. We haven't seen her yet. That's true. Take whatever we can get. Love these new images, and yeah, they're great. I just wanted to bring up this last one was particularly interesting for a couple of reasons. This is Steve Toussaint, and you're not know if I'm saying these names right, as Corlys Velaryon. And this is interesting for a couple of reasons. A, cool picture. I like that. Mm-hmm. Again, he's not Targaryen, but he is from that part of the world. He's from old Valyria, like the Targaryen. So that's why he has the, not Targaryen, but he still has the, you know, the bleached hair, the white blonde hair that is just the tradition of, I guess, Valyrians, ancient Valyrians. And so their house, he's a very important character. He's kind of the lord. He joins Rhaenyra. He's on Team Rhaenyra. He has a giant fleet. He's also the older version of the character who the Seven Voyages show is going to be about.
Yeah.
If they end up making that. We talked about it yesterday in Wick Club. And the other interesting thing about it is, okay, so in the books, he does have the white hair. They don't mention his race explicitly, although given like the fantasy default and the whole English setting, he's probably a white guy in the books, and they've chosen to cast characters of color to play him and his family. So he also has sons and daughters, and mm-hmm. we know there's other actors of color who are in those roles, and like other actors of color like with the hair, which is like the dead giveaway, right? Like that's how you know. And I haven't seen much like any nasty discourse about it. I do worry maybe like I suppose this is like an official thing, because I think back to like when they announced I'm blanking on his name, as Finn in The Force Awakens.
Oh, John Boyega. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Okay. There is some blowback, and I wonder if you had any takes on this. Like, what do you think of casting people of color in roles where, like, you know, his race is not important at all in the book. Like, it's not mentioned. He's probably a white guy just because it's assumed, but it's not mentioned. It's not important. And they're casting a person of color here to, you know, bring some diversity into the show. What do you think of that, Mia?
Yeah, I'm all for it in this instance. And this is an interesting day to bring this up, because there's also been the announcement of, you know, with the new Superman movie, and they're going to have a black Kal-El. And I've heard some interesting backlash against that, but not for reasons that you would think. And so I was like using that to kind of as a background with this. So with the Kal-El, people were a little upset with DC, because DC does have other black characters who have mm-hmm. a black experience and, you know, are just black. And I believe it's Calvin something. Sounds like Kal-El, but his name is Calvin. And he, you know, is a DC hero who I don't know much about him, but, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of like Spider-Man, where you have Peter Parker, but you also have Miles Morales, who is black and Latino. So with this, since the character doesn't really have any background and there are no real alternatives to, you know, a black experience in Game of Thrones, there's not much you can do but just say, hey, you know, we are just going to make this character a person of color, because otherwise the story would not have called for much. Yeah, anyway. So I'm in favor of this. I don't see it taking away from anything really at all, except for I still find the hair a little weird, but I mean, it's fantasy, so I'll have to give in to that.
I find the hair a little weird too. I won't lie. There's something about it looks almost like a little more fantasy. I mean, but I'm used to seeing it on like Daenerys. I didn't really question that. But yeah, I'm glad you said it, because it does look a little. But yeah, I'm sure it'll look good when it's, you know, in motion, in context and everything.
Yeah.
And as Zozo Lamezi says, the wigs look so much better on camera than on the leaked pics, which I agree with. And yeah, I'm excited about that. I mean, Game of Thrones got some blowback for, you know, not having a lot of diversity. And, you know, you can always use the excuse of like, well, that's what the text was like. And like, it's true, but you're not making the book. Like, you're making a TV show. And you're making a TV show in 2020, 2021. And you can take that into account when you're doing things like casting or blocking or writing or really anything. So I think it's a cool idea. I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. And he is a very important character, and his family's an important character. So yeah, it's a good way to sort of kind of cast, like, hit a bunch of birds with one stone, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're also casting, I believe, an Asian actress as Mysaria, who's an important character. And again, it's smart because this book is like, again, it's not like a novel. It's a sort of fake history with generalized descriptions. So there's a lot of room for this kind of thing to come in and just sort of, you know, change a little, like tweak a little something here or there, or just use the space where there is no solid information and just fill in the detail and make it all work. We also had one other picture I wanted to see. This is one of the not official ones. This was just on the set, but I wanted to show it because it's Targaryen kids. It's little kids with bleach blonde hair. A bunch of little Draco Malfoys walking around, basically, is what some of the Redditors were saying. What do you think of that, Mia? Because there are quite a lot of kids in this story. I don't know how many they'll actually end up having. I imagine some will be cut, but there are a bunch of kids. Like Rhaenyra has kids, Alison has kids. And what do you think of the prospect of seeing a bunch of bleach blonde Targaryen and Valyrian, like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 year olds running around doing their thing?
I mean, come one, come all. This reminds me of something. I don't know what I'm thinking about, where it's just like there's no kid, it's only adults. I don't know if it's like a video game. It's not The Sims. They have kids in The Sims, but yeah, I don't mind, you know, as long as they do, I'm sure they're doing kid appropriate things. They might swear.
Oh, no,
who knows?
This is Game of Thrones.
Well, I let them use one swear word each.
We're pretty sure, we think, that the scene they're filming is when the one son of Rhaenyra gets in a fight with the son of Alicent and ends up, like, tearing his eye out.
Oh, jeez.
Like, what do you mean the kids didn't get up? No, they're not. This is Game of Thrones. They're going to do horrible stuff. Remember when Arya, like, killed the hell out of that guy in Braavos? Or there's lots of Sansa scenes that were uncomfortable. No, the kids are going to be doing some messed up stuff. But I'm sure they'll be well supervised, taken care of.
Oh, exactly.
And I mean, cursing, I guess, in like a fantasy thing, they can just make up some curses, I guess.
Exactly. Well, I'm assuming those kids are well looked after, you know.
I'm sorry to disappoint you so harshly and so off the bat. But
corrupting the children, though.
I'm also not sure, like, so because Game of Thrones, like, there were a bunch of characters who were very young and they aged most of them up. Like Daenerys and Jon Snow are both like 14, 15 or something in the books, but they kicked it up a notch. They raised everybody's ages up. And we are wondering if it's a situation where, like, these are like scenes in the first season that are going to be a little further back and then you jump ahead some years, or they'll age some up, because some of these kids have pretty big roles, and I'm going to guess they're going to cast a little older actors when we get to like the big actiony parts, which do happen some years later, but we will see.
Yeah.
Any other comments on House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones?
No, it's kind of, it's funny. Every passing day, I'm a little more excited about it. So you've got a fan.
And I think we're only going to get more images and information from here on out. Moving on, there's actually quite a big week for news. The Last Kingdom got canceled on Netflix. I was upset about that. I mean, not upset, but or rather, it's going to be the final season of last season. This is like a medieval show on Netflix. Pretty popular. We like it. Mm-hmm. There's a Green Lantern show coming. Apparently, Doctor Strange was cut from WandaVision. There's a real live lightsaber now. Lots of Wheel of Time teases. I did want to hit all the new Marvel stuff before we move on to our what are we watching section, because there's a bunch.
Yeah.
Like, they basically released all their Marvel's plan to take over 2021, 2022, and 2023. We learned that the title is going to be Black Panther Wakanda Forever. They put official title for that for 2022. Mm-hmm. We learned that the Captain Marvel 2 is going to be The Marvels, which I don't know if I like. I feel like, again, it's big on franchise building. So they're going to have Captain Marvel. They're going to have Monica Rambeau. They're going to have Ms. Marvel. I don't know. I kind of feel like you're not worth your own title, I guess. You're going to be The Marvels. and such things as this. Oh, we got our first Eternals footage, including Rob Stark, a.k.a. Richard Madison, as Richard Madison, Richard Madden, as Icarus right there, looking super heroic.
Yeah, I was excited that they shared the Eternals footage, because that seems so long overdue, and everyone had just been clamoring for it. So it's kind of funny. It's like, because these are all familiar faces, like Angelina Jolie, Kumail Nanjiani, and McChan. It was like, I've seen all these people before, but to see them in this new context, and it's a Marvel movie, it's very, very exciting. So there was no Kit Harington in this, right? Just making sure I didn't miss anything.
10 seconds of footage. No, they didn't get around to him.
Yeah. So it wasn't a full trailer. It was this whole, like, hey, look at all these things we've done and look at all these things that are going to happen. Yeah, exactly. So don't forget you're here forever, basically.
Yes, up through 2023. But yeah, I'm excited for that. Any other, I don't know, I for some reason I assume I would be more excited about this. Any other things stand out to you? Any titles, any dates, or just, we all knew it was coming, bring it on.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird, like, it was kind of like, why are you dropping this right now? It's the day before Star Wars Day and nothing, like, they've already announced these things, which was kind of weird. And in that trailer, they showed you more Black Widow footage. You're like, yeah, it's coming eventually. It's coming. It's coming. And like I said, the Eternals was exciting. We've seen the Shang-Chi trailer. So it was really just another hype builder. But yeah, I mean, I'm just excited overall. So there's not much more I can say besides that. And but the Spider-Man thing was pretty interesting because I had mentioned to you yesterday about this whole Andrew Garfield interview with Josh Horowitz, I believe. And he basically asked him, like, hey, everyone thinks that, you know, you're going to be in the new Spider-Man movie. It's called, it's not Far From Home, but it's the other Home movie, No Way Home, I believe. And some people are thinking it's just going to be this multiverse movie where you've got Tobey Maguire and they've already said Doc Ock is going to be in it and Electro. And there's all these rumors and stuff. And they're like, are you in this? And Andrew Garfield was like, no, literally no one has called me. No one is saying that, you know, I'm going to be. Yeah. Yeah. And everyone is like, oh, he's sure. Lying. Yeah. Sure, sure, sure. So I don't know how to feel about that. I want to take his word on it.
I don't.
But yeah, everyone is like, that's why he's an actor, because he's putting on such a great act. And we know all three Spider-Men are going to be in this movie. So that's still my hope. That's still my dream. I don't think he should have talked about it at length as long as he did. But it is definitely my dream to have like all three Spider-Men in the same movie.
I almost feel bad for actors nowadays, like with this spoiler culture stuff, yeah. Where it's all about keeping secrets. Like, they didn't used to have to go on talk shows and lie. I'm assuming he's lying. I could be wrong, and then I'll eat some crow. But I mean, it's like a new phase of their job. I remember when Jon Snow died, and Kit Harington had to go around talk shows being like, it could be anything, like, which apparently hated. It's a thing they do now, and I assume he'll be in it. I assume they'll all be in it. And I think they should all take a tack from HBO and just release images. From now on, I think they should have just released a glossy pic of Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, and the main one, Tom Holland, all in their spider suits, give them the thumbs up sign like the first day. That's what I would have done. Just get out of the way. And the speculation.
Yeah.
But I seriously hope that's what happens from now on, but maybe it'll take a while for, because I feel like since Game of Thrones, there's been this whole like spoiler culture surge, and now there are all these strategies that are just wasting all this time. And now there might be like a coming around to a new thing where it's just like, give them what they want and they'll shut up.
Exactly. Because then it's like, it gives, you know, like on our end, if we're going to be interviewing someone like Andrew Garfield, you know, it's like people want to ask that question, and it would be awesome to at least tease it. Like if they were to give you a photograph and say, hey, here's all three of us together, you can kind of at least tease a little bit more out of them, like, hey, how do your characters interact, what can we expect, versus again wasting time on screaming like, I don't know, you'll have to see, the Marvel snipers are pointed at me.
Don't make liars out of these professional liars.
Exactly. I'm surprised to see go ahead, read some comments. I was gonna comment as well.
As Christian says, anyone notice the Fantastic Four reference at the close of the Marvel trailer? I heard about it. I didn't actually notice it. What was it?
It was just Fantastic Four logo. Like, it's coming soon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll watch that. As I think Richard says, which I agree with, Dickon look of Eternals, all that natural lighting, Selma Hayek on horseback is very Chloe Zhao-esque. This actually worked out nicely for Eternals because they delay it, and then Chloe Zhao wins a damn Oscar for Nomadland. And now suddenly, this is like the most prestigious superhero movie in history. And as Julie writes, Britannia's page posting lots of stuff hinting at it returning soon but not saying when. Foxtel is showing season 2 catch up. I can't wait for that. Yeah, sounds cool. And I feel like I'm honor bound to watch Britannia at this point. I put it off for way too long. I shouldn't even say this because now there's pressure, but we'll see what happens.
Yes.
Speaking of watching, Mia, you watching anything else these days?
I have been buried deep in Star Wars right now. So if I wanted, I couldn't watch anything else if I tried. Right. So I'm going to pass this section on to you.
Sure. I mean, I'm still watching Warrior. I still recommend it very, very heavily. We just got caught up, so we're going to keep on going. The Nevers, I just got new screeners for that. I'm looking forward to that. I'm also, okay, by the way.
You got new screeners? Oh,
yes. I got two new ones. Looking forward to it. You want me to hook you up? I'm sure I can email them. See if we can do it. I also at some point, HBO Max became my most preferred streaming service. I watched the most stuff on that. I'm watching that Q Into the Storm documentary. They have great documentaries on HBO Max. I really think so. Which is about kind of the QAnon phenomenon and like the weird sort of banal sociopaths behind it. It's really interesting. And then I'm also watching that Allen versus Pharaoh documentary series about the Woody Allen sex scandal back in like the early 90s.
Wow.
Oh, it's good. And just like, you know, tearing down, it's part of like, it's like a post Me Too sort of tear down of this iconic director who sort of like escaped during all of that, even though he did things a while back that were very questionable at the time, but he kind of like got away with it at the time. This is like the reckoning coming back around. It's interesting, engrossing, disturbing stuff, but I'm enjoying both of them a lot. And Warrior, and it's all HBO Max. I enjoy HBO Max a lot.
That's awesome. Yeah, I did watch Mortal Kombat last Wednesday because
watch that too.
Yeah, I didn't get to share my review on this show, but wasn't for me. It was not for me. I found some of the scenes very creative and maybe a little too gory for me on that front as well. If you're really into that stuff, then you know, all the more power to you. But I was like, yeah, it's just not for me. I was surprised. My dad gave me his review. He was like, he really liked it. He, I guess, loves Mortal Kombat. So I was like, all right, I'll just let you have your thing.
I went back and watched like the opening to the 95 movie because I am old. And I was like, this kind of slaps like that song at the start. Like, this is better than the entire other thing. And Christian, yeah, I recommend it if you're into like kind of a, for Cue Into the Storm, a sink into it engrossing documentary about the nerdy banality of evil. Anything else, Mia, you want to bring up before we wrap things up?
Let's see. HBO Max released Tenet last Saturday. It was okay. Yeah, that's a long one. That's another.
I never saw Tenet. I'm sort of done with Christopher Nolan movies. I don't know. I feel like I saw a bunch in theaters and they were all, I just didn't hit me the way.
Yeah.
I feel like they were hitting other people. Yeah. The Dark Knight's great.
This one is the most Christopher Nolan movie to ever Christopher Nolan. So if that turned you off, then don't bother.
You watched it?
Yeah, I've seen it already. Yeah.
Were you a fan? Did you like it?
I liked it just to have something to watch. I am kind of a fan of his genre. This one, but I do think this one, he was
like him. It's just, I don't know.
This one, he was just a little bit too into himself, and it really just kind of, you know, pulled down the whole house of cards. So it's a toss up.
I might check it out. Maybe not. Probably not. Anyway, thanks for watching, everybody. We are here every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. On the Winter Is Coming Facebook page and the Winter Is Coming YouTube channel. We are also available in podcast form on iTunes, Google Play, wherever podcasts are available. To listen on your commute, those are happening again, some parts of the country. Your workout, those are happening again, some parts of the country. Anytime you have a spare moment, you also give us a star rating of as many stars as you can, if you'd like. If not, you don't have to, but you should, and you can. And hopefully you will, if you feel so inclined. And again, every Wednesday, 4 p.m., live to join the discussion. Thanks, bon voyage, and have a lovely day, / depending on where you are in the world. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Saving money on your outdoor project? Now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save money.